When you do rapid maxillary expansion on a prepubertal patient, what changes would you expect to see in the density of the suture from pretreatment to after the completion of active expansion? How does the density of the midpalatal suture compare with the density of the maxillary bone? How does the density of the anterior part of the midpalatal suture compare with the density posteriorly? When rapid maxillary expansion is completed, how long does it take for the midpalatal suture to return to normal? These questions were all addressed in an article titled "Modifications of Midpalatal Sutural Density Induced by Rapid Maxillary Expansion, a Low-Dose Computed Tomography Evaluation," by Lorenzo Franchi et al. In this study, the authors used a sample of 17 white prepubertal patients who required rapid maxillary expansion. The maxillary expanders for all the patients were activated 2 turns a day for 14 days for a total of 7 millimeters of expansion. Multi-slice low-dose CT scans were taken before rapid palatal expansion, at the end of active expansion, and after a retention period of 6 months to evaluate changes in bone density. The authors specifically evaluated 4 different areas. 1, at the anterior area of the suture, 2, at the posterior area of the suture, 3, in the anterior maxillary bone, and 4, in the posterior maxillary bone. What they found was very interesting. First, they confirmed that the density of the midpalatal suture was less than the density measured at the maxillary bone. 2, the density of the anterior part of the suture was significantly less when compared with the posterior. This difference would help to explain why there is a greater opening in the anterior versus the posterior of the suture after the active phase of expansion. As might be expected, there was a significant decrease in the density of the midpalatal suture after the completion of active expansion. However, after 6 months of retention, the density of the midpalatal suture was similar to what it was prior to the initiation of treatment. This last finding would confirm that 6 months of post-active retention should be sufficient. Obviously, based on the protocol used in this study, it is impossible to say whether a shorter period of retention would also be satisfactory. Low-dose computed tomography has previously been used to measure bone density in areas being considered for the placement of implants, but not for measuring midpalatal bone density. I expect we will see greater and more widespread use of low-dose computed tomography to study bone density in the future. You can find this article in the 2010 issue of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics.